Life is not guaranteed at all, but death is absolutely guaranteed upon all. Life is not guaranteed at all, but death is absolutely guaranteed upon all. Life is not guaranteed at all, but death is absolutely guaranteed upon all.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Dear viewers of Madani Channel, today we will talk about another oppressive king, another tyrant king, who not only was oppressive, who not only was tyrant, but due to being blind in his in the greed of his rule and this world, he crossed all the limits. Ma'azallah. This accursed king, he was in the history, he's known as Akbar Badshah. Akbar the king, who ruled over the region of subcontinent, the region of India. As when we talk about other kings, the likes of Fir'aun, Pharaoh, Abraha, and so on and so forth, we come to know from their history that in the initial days of their lives, they were very poor. And then eventually and gradually, they became king. And then they became rich and so on and so forth. But Akbar Badshah, Akbar the king, was such a king whose state was not like Fir'aun and other kings who faced poverty in their early days. He was rich from day one, and he was son of another king. Before going into further detail of Akbar Badshah, let's first of all enlighten our hearts by listening to a virtue of reciting salutations, sending peace and blessings upon the noble prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. The noble prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has stated that whoever sends salutations upon me 3 times in a day and 3 times in the night, showing devotion and affection towards me, it is upon the mercy of Allah Almighty to forgive the sins he committed during that day and that night. So, dear viewers of Madani Channel, we've come to know of a way of how to get our sins forgiven. First of all, we should ensure that we don't commit sins in the first place. But in case, being a human being, we do commit sins, then send salutations upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam 3 times in the day and 3 times in the night, inshaAllah azza wa jal, our sins will be forgiven. And also develop a habit of sending salutations upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam in abundance. InshaAllah azza wa jal, you'll see many, many benefits in this world and in the hereafter for yourself. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Coming back to the topic of the day, Akbar the king. He was the son of a king. His father was also a king. Akbar was from the descendants of Humayun, and Humayun was also another king who ruled over the region of subcontinent. During the exile of Humayun, he married a woman in Sindh, Hamida Begum, and Akbar was born to Hamida Begum. Akbar the king was born in 1542 in Umarkot, Sindh, which is currently in Pakistan. Now, let's talk about how Akbar became a king. Akbar was only 13 years old when his father, Humayun, he passed away. And at that time, Akbar was at a war along with his teacher, Behram Khan. And that's where he received the news of the passing of his father. Therefore, Behram Khan, he made a sort of a platform out of bricks and made Akbar sit on it and performed the ceremony of crowning him over there. So Behram Khan, who was the teacher of Akbar, after Akbar became the king, he also became his guardian. So straight after becoming the king, in order to expand his kingdom, he started to fight many wars and attacked and invaded many different areas and lands. He sent his forces to far and wide regions and joined his forces himself personally as well and expanded the borders of his kingdom. The victories of Akbar the king continued from 1555 to 1595 AD. And his victories comprised of the land that was spread across very, very big area. By 1556, Gwalior, Delhi, Punjab, and Agra had been conquered by Akbar. In 1565, his rule has established over Malwa, 1564 Gundana, 1568 Chittor, 1572 Gujarat, 1576 Bengal, 1585 Kabul, Kashmir, and Sindh, and in 1595, Kandahar and other areas were conquered. So from 1556 to 1595, his kingdom had expanded from Bengal to Afghanistan and from Kashmir to Godavari River of Deccan. So dear viewers of Madani Channel, the kingdom of Akbar had now expanded over a large area of land that comprised of people of different languages and different castes. Ruling such a massive land and so many different nations had made Akbar extremely arrogant and boastful. So in order to keep his kingdom and rule going, what he did was that he intended to introduce a new religion that was different than Islamic principles and doctrines. Akbar did not step back from his stubbornness and founded the basis of a new religion that was known as Dine Akbari, which he also called as Dine Ilahi, Ma'azallah. What evils he gathered in this new religion? Let's briefly listen about this. The ideologies and principles that he introduced in this religion, newly made religion of his, were completely different and contrary to the principles and ideologies of Islam. For example, he eradicated the Hijri year, the lunar year, the Islamic year. He made alcohol halal, he made gambling permissible, and although one can marry his or her maternal or paternal cousins in Islam, but he passed a new law that one cannot marry his or her maternal or paternal cousin. And this was all to please the disbelievers. Now Akbar was doing all this to ensure that at his end, he doesn't leave any loophole that could go against the expansion of his kingdom, that could go against his rule. And dear viewers of Madani Channel, remember another fact over here, that Akbar was not very academically wise. He was not a very knowledgeable person. Therefore, his ministers, they used him against Islam, and Akbar himself kept being misused in their hands, and he was like a puppet being used by his close ministers. So over here, we also come to know the importance of knowledge, how important it is to acquire knowledge for a person. And Islam has also emphasized immensely on acquiring knowledge. As knowledge is someone, it enables a person to distinguish between good and bad. Now, unfortunately, Akbar himself was not a knowledgeable person. He himself was not very wise, to say the least. He himself did not possess knowledge, so he was unable to distinguish, determine what is good and what is bad. So he was misused by his ministers due to his lack of knowledge. Now Islam highly emphasizes on acquiring knowledge, and there are a lot of virtues mentioned for ilm, for knowledge in the Quran and in the Hadith. We've been told that those who have knowledge and those who do not have knowledge, both of them are not equal. Only those fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who have the knowledge of deen. And we have been told that acquiring knowledge is fard, is obligatory upon every Muslim, male and female. So we need to ensure that we acquire the obligatory knowledge as per our state, so we can distinguish and establish the difference between good and bad, between right and wrong, so we can implement those things in our lives and become successful in this world and in the hereafter. Otherwise, people can misuse you to serve their own evil intentions and purposes, as was the case with Akbar the king. So, dear viewers of Madani Channel, it is stated that there were 9 such individuals in the court of Akbar without whose advice he would not take even a single step forward. He would do exactly as they would guide him. Since Akbar was a king, hence he did not even refrain from oppressing a great saint, a great wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Sayyiduna Mujaddid al-Faythani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh. And it was Sayyiduna Mujaddid al-Faythani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh who stood firm in front of Akbar and opposed him when he introduced his own religion. It was Sayyiduna Mujaddid al-Faythani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh who refused him, denied him, and stood firm in front of him and upheld the flag of Islam, upheld the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and propagated the message of oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, the propagation of oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by Mujaddid al-Faysani rahmatullahi ta'ala was something that Akbar could not bear to see. So, he started to oppress and tyrannize Mujaddid al-Faysani rahmatullahi ta'ala as well. As Akbar, he wanted everyone to follow whatever he said. And whatever rules and ideologies, principles he was introducing, he wanted everyone to follow them without any objections, ifs, and buts. However, the truth cannot remain hidden. The perfection and beauty that is found in Islam cannot be found in any other religion. And the true servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our pious predecessors, always stood up for the protection of Islam. They sacrificed their lives for the upholding of the flag of Islam. Whenever there was danger posed to Islam, our pious predecessors, rahimahumullah, they stood firm in front of that threat and eradicated that threat. They did not care about their lives. All they cared about was the deen, the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the oneness of Allah Almighty. Therefore, the new religion of Akbar was also not any less than a threat and a great mischief either. Therefore, Sayyiduna Mujaddid al-Faythani, Sheikh Ahmad Sarhandi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, came at the forefront and stood in front of Akbar and destroyed his ideology and the faith that he brought and introduced to people. Now, dear viewers of Madani Channel, Akbar was so brutal and tyrant that he would go to any extent for the sake of his rule and kingdom. The prison cells that he made, he would keep men and women tied together in those prison cells, and there wouldn't be any roof on those prison cells by means of which a prisoner could not stay safe from heat of the weather or from the cold of the weather. Sayyiduna Mujaddid al-Faythani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh stood like a firm mountain of perseverance and steadfastness in front of Akbar. Now, the great rule and kingdom of Akbar started to face a downfall. He was fond of music, alcohol, and opium in his youth. However, during the last days of his life, he would consume very less alcohol and opium. When he saw that his close acquaintances are leaving him, and when he saw the steadfastness of Mujaddid al-Faythani rahmatullahi ta'ala alayh, all his arrogance, all his luxuries, all his glitter was ruined. It was seized, it came to an end. Therefore, Akbar met his dreadful end on 16th October 1606 AD. After his death, his self-made religion also became abolished. So, his false ideology and religion also got wiped away along with his death and became a part of history. So Akbar the king himself also became a part of the history, and his self-made ideologies and religion also became a part of the history. But not something positive. It became a part of history for us to take heed from, for us to take admonition from. And the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the flag of oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Mujaddidi al-Fithani rahmatullahi ta'ala he kept upheld, that remained as it was, and it is even flourishing today. The name of Mujaddidi al-Fithani rahmatullahi ta'ala is taken with great dignity and great reverence today. And when we take the name of Akbar, Akbar the King, we take it to learn a lesson from his life story, to take heed from his life story. And we also come to know that anyone who challenged the might of Allah Almighty, who challenged the truthfulness of Islam, and ma'adallah introduced his own false beliefs, and ma'adallah claimed to be God himself, he was wiped away from the face of this earth. He failed. His false ideologies also came to an end. And the religion that he tried to wipe away, Islam, that remained flourishing. And how can Islam be wiped away? How could Islam be wiped away when this is the religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for the mankind? There's no other religion which is beloved to Allah Almighty other than Islam. After the Holy Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when the prophethood ended, it was the blessed companions, the Sahaba alayhim ridwan, who upheld the flag of Islam. After the Sahaba, it was the Awliya who upheld the flag of Islam. And during the time of Akbar, it was Sayyidina Mujaddid al-Fithani rahmatullahi ta'ala who stood firm in front of him, did not care about his life, sacrificed everything of his for the sake of Islam, and ensured that Islam is not tarnished, Islam is not harmed through his false ideologies and through his newly brought religion. Eventually, the name of Mujaddid al-Fithani rahmatullahi ta'ala is even alive today. And the name of Akbar, although is alive, but is alive for us to learn lesson from. So again, what do we learn? That all those who oppress, although they would have rule at one time, but then they would die a disgraceful death, and their name will be wiped away from the face of this earth. And if it would be remembered, it would be to learn a lesson from. It would be to take a heed from. And the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their names are alive even after centuries and centuries. And we respect them, we honor them, we revere them, and we pray to Allah Almighty for their sake, for our well-being in this world and in the afterlife. So this was all in our today's episode, in which we briefly spoke about Akbar the King and how he invaded other lands, expanded his kingdom, how he became a king, and how he eventually faced his disgraceful end. May Allah Almighty enable us to refrain from disobeying him, and may Allah Almighty enable us to follow the true path of Islam in this world, and may Allah Almighty also enable us to stay on this true path and also pass away on this true path. Ameen. Bijahi an-nabiyyil amin. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Life is not guaranteed at all, but death is absolutely guaranteed upon all. Life is not guaranteed at all, but death is absolutely guaranteed upon all. Life is not guaranteed at all, but death is absolutely guaranteed.